Now, we'd like to read the Bible verse for the year 2025. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Let me read. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me read again. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this morning, Pastor Joy will share the New Year message sermon from this verse. Happy New Year, everyone. And I pray blessing for your year ahead. I am very pleased to be able to start this new year with the worship with you. So today I will share the sermon from this verse of the year that Osumi Sensei just read. So I want to start from one story. Have you ever had the experience of having the something which is has the image which is different from the reality? For example, you've read something on the magazine, but when you wear it, it's different. Or oftentimes, like the advertisement and the real products of the food is different. So, in the new year, there are many years. And once I bought the soft-served ice cream, which was on the banner. And when I bought the ice cream, it was much smaller than what I saw on the banner. And a few years ago, there was a news about an image of osechi meal, which is completely different from the advertisement image. So the left-hand side is the advertisement, and the right-hand side is the real thing. So it's much different, and it's disappointing how different it is. So this difference between the image and reality, this may be the case for some people's Christian lives. They may be wondering, I've heard many stories of people who were transformed by becoming a Christian, but when I think about myself, I have been Christian for a long year, but I haven't changed a lot, actually. No matter how many years has passed, I feel like nothing has changed. If this is the reality for you, then that's sad. But God has given us another path, the path of growth. So then, what is the Christian growth? So for example, for some people, the growth could be in the characters as a person, to not be angry as often. But if we put it in simple words, our goal as a Christian is one person. And it is written in today's verse. Ephesians 4 verse 13. Let me read again. We all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the goal for the Christian growth, in one word, is to become like Christ. Thinking like Jesus and living and acting like Jesus. That is the growth for us. And that is the goal for our Christian lives on this earth. So then, how can we be transformed into the likeness of Christ? That's what we want to talk about today. So, the sermon title today is Attaining to the Whole Measure of the Fullness of Christ. I will discuss about this in 3 points. The first point, things necessary for the growth. Training. So in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, Paul says, train yourselves to be godly. So this training is related to the sports. So the fastest way to achieve a goal, whether in sports or studies, that is the accumulation of small day-by-day efforts And I think you all know this by your experience. So when children are asked what they want to be when they grow up, they often answer like a celebrity or the star athletes. So they must have someone who they admire. But however, in many cases, children only see their like bright side where they are in the spotlights and they look up to them. But I think what we should pay attention to is not their bright side, but the hard work that goes behind the scene, which rarely shows up on the surface. So it is often said that when you see an iceberg emerging from the sea, only 1/10 is above the sea level and 9/10 are below the sea level unseen. So similarly, we only see the 1/10 of the star celebrity and the athletes. And this visible part, the one in the spotlights, are supported by the 9/10, which are invisible under the water. In the 1990s, a research was conducted at the West Berlin Music School, which is famous for producing famous musicians. It was a research project to find out why some violinists are better than others. The researchers divided the violinists attending to that school into three groups. The top group of people who were likely to succeed internationally, professionally. The second, those who were good, but not as good as the top group. And the third, the rest of the students. Then they looked into each student's personal data. For example, at what age did they start playing violin? What kind of teacher did they have? How many hours a week had they been practicing? And they have analyzed this huge amount of data. Then they found out a big difference between these three groups. And that was the cumulative total amount of practice time since they started playing the violin. So first group, by the time they turned 18, the top group has practiced an average of 7,410 hours. The next group, 5,301 hours. And the third group had the average of 3,420 hours. So the more practice hours they had, the more skilled the people were. That was the result of the research. So when we look at the successful people, we tend to think that they were born with special talents or ability. That's the image that we have. But actually, if we look at all the people who have been successful, their original abilities had been much ordinary. So what is the secret to their success? It's the steady accumulation of their daily training. And in the same way, our spiritual growth does not happen overnight. Our daily habits and small accumulations lead to the growth. However, there is a big difference between physical training and spiritual training. Spiritual growth is not achieved through our own effort or strength. It is God who changes us. As we acquire the habit of turning to God every day, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us will transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and He will let us grow. So in the second and third parts, let us talk about the specific habits for the growth that we can have this year. So second point, have the habit of devotion. So the word devotion means the act of dedication, but we use it for the act of reading the Bible, praying, and communicating with God daily. So if you want to become more like Jesus Christ, you need to grow to know God deeply through the Bible every day. So let's think about the relationship with the people around us. For example, there are two people around us, two types of people. The first group, you can tell what they're thinking about just by looking at their facial expressions. And the second group, you have no idea what they are thinking about. So where does this difference come from? I think It has to do with how much time you have spent with them. So in the same way, if we wish to be like Jesus, we need to learn who Jesus is through the Bible. We have to spend time with Him to know Him deeper. So at our church, we are now delivering a devotional message called Daily Manna every morning at 6 o'clock on the social network service line. It is delivered. So I would like to introduce 5 points to keep in mind when you use Daily Manna and have your devotion time. The first point, decide a specific time and place for the devotion. So if you read the Gospels, we read that Jesus prayed in the lonely place early in the morning. Why was Jesus up early in the morning and have the relationship with God? That is because Jesus was always surrounded by His disciples and crowds, and the only time where He could be alone with God was early in the morning. And we should follow Jesus' example and set aside time where we can be alone with God and focus on His Word. So decide which time and which place you will have the devotion. It could be when you wake up or when you go to bed. It could be as short as 15 minutes. Find a place and time where you can take 15 minutes to be with God alone. The second point, read the Bible in a planned way. The Bible has 1,189 chapters, including the Old and the New Testament. So if you read 3 chapters a day, you can finish reading it in almost an hour, year. So in Daily Manna, we read 1 chapter each day. So in about 3 years and a little over 3 years, we can read the whole Bible. I think it's important to read through the entire Bible, both Old and the New Testament. So you also read the parts that are uncomfortable with you. For example, the Habakkuk and Malachi. If you go to heaven and meet people like Habakkuk and Malachi, and they say, like, I've written the Bible, but you're like, oh, I actually don't know much about you, then you will feel awkward. So make sure you know them well before you go to the heavens. So it is important to read from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then God will show you the whole plan, sometimes through the history of Israel before Jesus was born, and sometime after and the life through the life of Jesus, God will show you His plan. The third point, keep the basic context in mind. So when you start a new book on the Bible in Daily Manna, a simple background of the book of the Bible is delivered. So they introduce like who's written the book, and when and where it was written. So, before reading, it is important to know when and who wrote the book, and for whom it was written. So, I had a friend in the seminary, 1 year above me. He was quite weird, and when he was a student, he was traveling abroad, and someone talked to him on the street, and he came to believe in Jesus. And he was given a New Testament to read for the first time in his life. And he had no idea when and where this Bible was written, because he's seen it for the first time. But as he was reading it, he found it interesting and he kept reading it. And he came across 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy is a letter written by Paul, who was in a prison in Rome, to his disciple Timothy. And there is a passage where Paul asks for his coat. He asked Timothy to bring him a coat because it must have been cold. And then what did my friend think? He had no idea when it was written, so he thought, so someone called Paul needs a coat and I have to deliver it to him. So he packed his bag and tried to go to Rome. So you see, there's a lot of passion going on towards wrong direction. It sounds ridiculous, but it's a true story. To avoid this happening, it is important to know the basic historical background and the purpose of each book. Number 4, try to get into the shoes of the characters in the Bible. try to read the story from the perspectives of the characters and the writers or the recipient. By putting yourselves in various positions, you will start to see more things in the Bible. And the fifth point, application. So ask questions such as, what is God saying through this passage? How can this truth I learned can be applied to my life today? Try to think as specifically as possible and write them down on your notebook. So please try to have the time of devotion through daily manna. Try for an year and you will be amazed by all the changes that will take place. So today, if you look at the back, there are notebooks at the back of the hall. If you have decided to have this time of devotion for an year, starting from today, please take one notebook with you and then use it for your devotion. So we would like to be nourished by the Word and live the words out and know Jesus deeper. This is a big blessing of the Christian life. So, this is something that happened in America during Civil War in a small rural church. Every year, the small church had a talent show at the end of the year, and the performers showed off their special skills and talent. There were violinists, there were magicians, there were singers and the children choir. Then, it was the turn of someone. Everyone in the hall knew that person. His name was Meriwether, and he was a famous actor who were playing leading roles in Shakespeare's plays. And he stood before the crowd and recited Psalm 23, which he has memorized. The audience was taken by his flowing elegance and deep, clear voice. And when he finished his wonderful recitation, the whole audience erupted in the thunderous applause. Now, it's going to be very hard for the next person who performs. And the next person was called Joseph. It was very difficult for him to get up on the stage after Mr. Meriwether. But furthermore, what he had prepared was a recital of the Psalm 23, the same as Meriwether. And Joseph was over 60 years old, and he was born and raised in the countryside. He had always worked in the fields and had suffered lots of hardships. But he was a humble man and modest and a man of integrity. And he looked nervous and he began to recite Psalm 23. He stumbled here and there. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. After reciting that much, he went off aside and continued. You know, my wife died 6 years ago. At that time, I thought everything was over in my life. I wasn't sure what to do after this, but God was still with me at that time, and He has guided my life. He has given me the way to feed my family, and I lacked nothing. Then he began to recite the next part, still stumbling over it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. After reciting this far, he said, during the recent war, my sons went off to the fight for the Civil War, and they passed away. That was the last time I saw their faces. And then I thought I was alone. But no, that wasn't true. God has restored my soul to life. It wasn't easy, but God had always walked with me and provided for my needs. And he carried on reciting the rest of the verses. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, one day I will live in that house of the Lord with my dear wife and children forever. I am waiting for that day. The church was silent and the hearts of the people were deeply moved. At that moment, Meriwether, who had given a wonderful recitation earlier, slowly stood up and said, I know Psalm 23 and I have memorized it. But look at Joseph. He lives by the word. He not only knows the verse, but he knows the shepherd Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing. So let us know Jesus through the Bible and a daily devotional time. Let us know how wonderful our shepherd is. So, the last point for today, the habit for growth, is devotional time and the prayer. So have the time of prayer along with the time of devotion. So that has the essential role in the growth. So when you pray, what kind of posture do you take? Fold your hands, close your eyes, and bow your head? I think that's the normal posture. Actually, if you look at the history of the church, this style of prayer has started in the 1800s, very recently. And the reason why it started was to calm restless children in a Sunday school, apparently. So, you know, the children are running around, so you make them fold their hands, close their eyes, and settle them down. So before that, actually, people prayed opening their eyes, even in the Bible. And that was to be aware that God is with us in this real life, in the real world. So, of course, folding your hands and closing your eyes can help you to concentrate on prayer. However, you don't have to be bound by that form. You know, prayer is much more free because prayer is a conversation with God. You can pray in any posture. And I guess to those without faith, prayer may seem very unproductive and a waste of time. They are not doing anything, but they are staying still. But that is not true for us. A Christian life is based on an abundant relationship with the living God. And prayer is an essential activity for deepening our relationship with God. So we are led to growth through prayer. So why do we grow through prayer? We'd like to look at 2 points. First point, because it deepens our relationship with God. You know, many people have the image that prayer is something like making a wish. However, prayer is not just about making requests. It has also another element, such as thanksgiving, praise, confession, and bringing our hearts before God. And what kind of prayer deepens our relationship with God? It is a prayer that exposes our heart to God. You know, as we spend long time as Christians, we may develop a certain manner of praying, and you think like, we should pray like this, and we're caught up in our styles. But you know, God is not interested in how we should pray, but He wants to hear what is actually in our hearts. Whether it's sadness, anger, He wants to receive what you have in your heart. And when we expose our true feelings to God, our relationship with God will deepen. And the second reason that we grow through the prayer is because we experience working with God through prayer. So sometimes there's a discussion, which is more important, prayer or action? You know, prayer and action tend to be in a conflict. For example, a man of action might think about that man of prayer, that person is just praying and he does nothing. And conversely, the man of prayer may think the person needs to pray first. He shouldn't just always act, but he should pray more. You know, so there's the conflict that may arise between these two. So which is more important, prayer or action? The answer is both are important. So if you look at the life of Jesus, He saw no contradiction whatsoever between prayer and action. Jesus spent lots of time interacting with the people, but Jesus' source of the powerful work was in the prayer. you know, people in the later times also followed Jesus' example. When problems arose in the early churches, they prayed, sought God's will, and then took action. Paul prayed fervently for each church, wrote letters, and actually visited them. So we too should follow Jesus' example by praying, seeking God's will, and taking actions. So let us be co-workers of God. We work together with God through prayer, and then we grow. So lastly, I would like to share one story. A father of a house decided to do some DIY and build a stone staircase in his garden. So he had to lift the heavy pebbles with some tools, load them onto the wheelbarrow, carry them to another place, and then put them down. So it was a very hard work, heavy work. And his 5-year-old daughter said, "Let me help you." But he said, "It's dangerous, so you can just watch me and cheer me." But the daughter insisted, "No, I will help." The father thought about it for a moment, and then he started to work carefully with his daughter. So he would put a stone on his daughter's hand, and he would move the stone together by pushing her hands and then putting them down with his daughter. So by the end of the day, the father not only finished the staircase, but it took about 3 times as long as it should have taken. But in the end, the father saw the newly made staircase, and also he saw his daughter bursting with confidence and a sense of accomplishment. At the dinner table, the daughter proudly said, "Daddy and I built the staircase." The father heard was moved with joy as he replied, "You're right. Thank you." That's the kind of relationship we have with God. You know, we pray with God and we work together with God. And through that, we will grow. So today we look at the theme of attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Through the daily devotion and the prayer, let us grow this year to be like Christ Jesus. So one of my favorite singers is called Justin Bieber. So after he became successful at a young age, his life was almost ruined by alcohol and drugs. However, he met Jesus Christ and his life was restored. And now he continues to inspire young people by testifying his faith through his songs. And once, he made this promise with his mentor, the pastor. "When we are both 70 years old, let's be gentle, loving, and devoted people just like Jesus." And we would like to spend this year holding a time of devotion and prayer to commune with God every day. And when we are 70 years old, when we end our lives, we would like to be like Jesus. So let us read the annual verse for this year, 2025. "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this new year, and thank you that we can give you praise and start this year. As Christians, the salvation is not the goal, but for the rest of our life on this earth, we have the goal of becoming transformed like Jesus. This year, let us grow in a relationship with you through devotion, and let us work with you through prayer, and let us grow to be more like Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll be with each people over here and they will be able to realize your presence with them. We expect great things in you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take some time to pray in our own words. Okay, now we have some announcements. Please look at the front screen. So on the 3rd of January, we have the New Year worship service where we seek the Holy Spirit. So let us come and worship God together and surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So in November, Takara and Marina went to Sweden and they would like to share something that they have received over there. On January 26th, in the afternoon, they'll have the... And on 11th and 12th of January, we'll pray for those who are becoming staging adults, 20 years old. And from the 10th of January, the new Bible study is starting. So if you'd like to participate, please write your name down for these. And this is the recommendation of the devotion. Please use the daily manna. And please grab the notebooks at the back to start a devotion this year. And if you're going to grab the notebook, please write your name down. It's for free, but we would like to know who you guys are. So I think there are 100 notebooks. So if they run out, if you write your name down, we'll have them ready next week. Okay, so that's about it. I pray that you have a great year ahead. And God bless you. Thank you for coming.